This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Wa salatu wa salamu ala al-ma'uthi rahmatin lil alamin. Nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim amma ba'd. Al-yawm 14 min shahri Jumada al-akhirah. 1446 الموافق ل كم 16 من شهر ديسمبر 2024 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك اشراط الساعة. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في الليين. So I guess today we're supposed to talk about ظهور نار نار الحجاز, the fire that will appear in the area of Al-Hijaz. And Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala la taqumu as-sa'a hatta takhruja narun min ard al-Hijaz tudhi'u a'naq al-ibli bi Basra. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the qiyamah will not happen until until the time you see a fire coming and emerging from the land of Hijaz. Hijaz, that's Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Medina, Makkah, that, those areas. So you will see the fire coming from that place. تُذِيءُ أَعْنَاقَ الْإِبْلِ بِبَصْرَ. And this fire will be so much in the way you can see the necks of the, you can see the reflection of the fire on the neck of the camels in Basra. Basra is a place in Syria. So he said, تُذِيءُ أَعْنَاقَ الْإِبْلِ بِبَصْرَ قَالَ وَقَدْ ظَهَرَتْ هَذِهِ النَّارِ فِي مُنْتَصَفِ الْقَرْنِ السَّابِعِ الْحِجْرِي فِي عَامِ 54 و 600. He says in the middle of the 7th century of the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this fire already happened in the year 654 after the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that this fire already happened. وكانت نارا عظيمة أفاض العلماء ممن عاصر ظهورها ومن بعدهم في وصفها. He says it was a very huge fire. Many scholars who lived at the time when it appears, they talk about it. Don't forget, Sheikh is trying to bring those asharat of the sa'ah that he believes happened. You start with the one that happens and then we go slowly, 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 slowly until the one that might be happening together with the big ones. قال النووي رحمه الله خرجت في زماننا نار بالمدينة سنة 54 و 600. Imam al-Nawawi said in our time, in his time, there was fire that emerged in Medina the same year, 654 after the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وكانت نارا عظيمة, it was a very huge fire. من جنب المدينة الشرقي وراء الحرة, behind the حرة. حرة is a land in Medina. It's a bit dark. It has small, you know, rocks that are sharp, you know, on it. And that's the reason why the enemies in from Mecca, I think my Zoom died, rahimahullah. So.
Can you use my hotspot?
Yeah, so many hotspots, which one should we choose?
You can use iPhone 15.
Okay. That's the first one that came actually. Mazen, we divorced Dubai today. So, Nawawi said, he said that this fire emerged from the eastern part of Medina, the Harra Sharqiyya. Yeah, we have Harra al-Gharbiyya, Harra Sharqiyya. So from the eastern part of Medina, it emerged. Wara al-Harra, behind Harra. Harra's behind it. وتواتر العلم بها عند جميع الشام وسائر البلدان. And the knowledge about this fire was mutawatir. Mutawatir means everywhere. To everyone who lives in Sham, وسائر البلدان, and places which are around that area. وأخبرني من حضرها من أهل المدينة. And also, I got the news from some of those people who witnessed that fire. So Imam Nawawi was not there, but he says some of those who witnessed that moment told me about that fire. So it's an event which happens in their time, which everyone witnessed. That's why, if you remember last time, when the question was asked about how do we know when Mahdi comes, this is Mahdi. Yeah, you don't need to worry about this, because these signs of the Day of Judgment that are a bit bigger, when they happen, you don't need to worry. The news will come to you. There is no way for them to be hidden. Yeah, there is no way for them to be hidden. When the Dajjal comes, you don't need to check and see how can you get the true information about his existence. No, it will come to you wherever you are. The same goes to Mahdi, Ajuj, Majuj, Isa alayhi salam, all of them. The sign will not happen and be hidden in one place. قال ونقل ابن كثير أن غير واحد من الأعراب ممن كانت بحاضرة بصرة. You know, it's Basra in Sham. Ibn Kathir says many from the villages who are in those areas شاهدوا أعناق الإبل في ضوء هذه النار التي ظهرت من أرض الحجاز. They were able to see the necks of that camels. They were able to see the camels in the light which is generated from this fire. Exactly like the hadith says, right? حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ نَارٌ تُضِيءُ أَعْنَاقَ الْإِبْلِ. Right? So he says many of the people who are in the village, because they have the camels, they can see the necks of the camels from this, the fire, the light that comes from the fire. وَذَكَرَ الْقُرْطُبِيُّ ظُهُورَ هَذِهِ النَّارِ وَأَفَاضَ فِي وَصْفِهَا فِي كِتَابِهِ التَّذْكِرَةِ. القرطبي has تذكرة, تذكرة بحوى الموتى. If I'm not mistaken, that's the name of the book. So he also talk about this fire, that it happens, and أطنب في ذكره. He talks a lot about it. فذكر أنها رؤيت من مكة من جبال بصرة. Subhanallah, he says people were able to witness it from Makkah ومن جبال بصرة. They saw it when they are in Makkah. You know, it emerged in Medina, but they saw it in Makkah. You can see how big it is, you know. What is the distance between Mecca and Medina? Around 450 kilometers. And in Sham, to see it in Basra, that's too far. Yeah. So they were able to see it in Basra. That's why he said, وَمِن جِبَالِ Basra. And also from the mountains of the Basra, also they witnessed that fire. وَنَقَلَ ابْنُ حَجَرٍ وَالَّذِي ظَهَرَ لِي أَنَّ النَّارَ الْمَذْكُورَةِ هِيَ الَّتِي ظَهَرَتْ فِي بَوَاحِ المدينة كما فهمه القرطبي وغيره. So Ibn Hajar says, I also have the same understanding that this fire that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is talking about is the same one that happens in some part of Medina, just like what Al-Qurtubi mentioned. وهذه النار ليست هي النار التي تخرج في آخر الزمان. But this is the fire. This is not the fire that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said will emerge in the last days of this world of ours, right? You remember Ashrat al-Sa'a, the Kubra? How many are they? 10, right? Number one, Al-Mahdi, followed by Al-Dajjal. Al-Mahdi, 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 Al-Mahdi. I want to remove his surprise, but until now, the moment I say Mahdi, his surprise is increasing. Which one is first? Which one? Maybe that's knowledge which we don't have, so I'd love to also get some benefit from my teachers.
I remember that Mahdi was the last of the minor ones. And then there were 10 other than this.
Then what are these 10?
No, I don't remember the sequence.
And Dajjal, Isa.
You're going to get 9.
Isa, Dajjal, Majjal.
Dukhan is controversial. And there's even some believe that Dukhan already took place long
ago.
Rising of the sun
from the west.
Uh-huh.
The beast.
Mm-hmm.
The three earthquakes.
You're going to get nine. I can help you, actually. I can help you. You're going to get nine. Either you put Dukhan or you put Al-Mahdi. I put Mahdi. That's why they call them Mudda'un. Mudda, Mim, Dal, Dajjal. Yeah, that's the best way to define it. Mahdi is the first big sign of the Day of Judgment. Al-Mahdi, yeah, will happen. And then Dajjal will come. You get it? Mahdi, and then Dajjal, and then Isa alayhi salam. And then Ya'juj wa Ma'juj, and then sun from the west, and then animal, the beast, and then the three earthquake, and then the fire. And then according to Hammad's book, Dukhan, then 11. But you're right, some scholars count Dukhan, but Dukhan is a controversial matter, did it even happen or not in Surah Dukhan. Yeah. Some scholars believe that it happened in the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam during the hunger strike, the famine. People start seeing Dukhan, but realistically there is no Dukhan, but because they are really traumatized by their situation. We will come to that, don't worry, inshallah. Just don't graduate before we finish. قال وهذه النار ليست هي التي تخرج في آخر الزمان. So this is not the one that will come in from Yemen, right? التي تحشر الناس إلى محشرهم كما سيأتي في الكلام عليها في الأشراط الساعة الكبرى. Get it? So this one we'll talk about this, but this fire is a new fire, one of the minor signs of the Day of Judgment that will happen before the major ones. So, according to this mention of those scholars, the fire already happened, right? This fire already happened. Next one, Qital al-Turk, fighting the Turks. روى مسلم عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا تقوم الساعة حتى يقاتل المسلمون الترك. Imam Muslim narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The Qiyamah will never happen until the time the believers fight a Turk." You get it? And these Turk, what are their origin? Wallahu a'lam. Yeah. You don't find something from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that could be relied upon. But some scholars said they are from the Nasl Yafif ibn Nuh alayhi salam. Some of them said no, they are from Bani Qantur. It's Mujariyat in Kanat li Ibrahim alayhi salam. So it's the name of Jariyah that used to be owned by Ibrahim alayhi salam. Qantura. Very strange names. Some said أنه من نسل Tuba, Yemen. Yeah. Also controversial issue whether he's a prophet or he wasn't. Inshallah, when you study that one, you will know. And some said they are from the Nasl Afridun, Ibn Sam, Ibn Nuh, grandson of Nuh alayhi salam. وبلادهم يقال لها Turkistan. Then go and talk to Turkistan. Yeah, this is just what Ma'ajim said. Yani. This is where they are located. Yeah. Okay, so they are scattered in part of sea in Shamal al-Hind. Should I continue? I don't want the president to cancel my classes, you know. But I'm just reading the book, you know. So whenever we see something wrong, we blame Hamad. You know? Yeah, it is, subhanAllah.
So he says, until the time the Muslimin are going to fight the Turk. قَالَ قَوْمًا وَجُوهُهُمْ كَالْمَجَانَ الْمُطْرَقَ. Their faces will be like turs. You know al-majan? Al-mijan. You know al-mijan? Shield. Al-mutraqa, the one that is covered by skin. You know the mijan is supposed to be open, right? Metal. But sometimes they design it, they put some skin, leather on it. I guess it might help to, resist it, rather than having the full friction when the metal and metal meet. The arrow might get stuck inside. I don't know, I never experienced it, but I'm just giving my own thought on it. So the Prophet said, كَالْمَجَانَ الْمُطْرَقَ, covered by those skin. يَلْبَسُونَ الشَّعْرَ وَيَمْشُونَ فِي الشَّعْرَ. They will be wearing sha'r. That means the shoes made by skin, also with the hair. Right? وَيَمْشُونَ وَيَلْبَسُونَ. They will be wearing those clothes that are made from suf, wabar. وَيَمْشُونَ فِي الشَّعْرَ. And also the shoes also will be like that. SubhanAllah. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us description so that when the time comes, you will not be confused. You already know this is. Clear, inshallah. قال ولي البخاري عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا تقوم الساعة حتى تقاتل قوما نعالهم الشعر. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Qiyamah will not happen until the time you fight a people, نعالهم الشعر. They're wearing sha'r. The shoes will be made from the sha'r. Sha'r means the hair, right? The suf. Actually, the sha'r is usually used to address the hair of the sheep and the goat. The sheep one is suf. The camel one is wabar. The cow and the goat is the sha'r. Yeah, that's how they differentiate between them. That's Arabic language, very rich language, you know, and Salis also. But unfortunately, the Arabs nowadays, they don't like Arabic language. Is it true? I'm telling you, many. And there's great effort now in studying the Arabic language by the Arabs. Even those people who are not supposed to go for it, SubhanAllah. Wallah, it's very, 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 subhanAllah, scary situation now. See, people in the universities where they don't use, English language, but also everyone is rushing from the students and the scholars. That's the beginning of degeneration and corruption and evil, you know, to approach us. In the past, I remember Ibn Uthaymeen was fighting this idea. SubhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not let him live to see this moment of the Ummah in our countries. So he was saying in one of his lectures, he says, وَالْعَجِيبُ أَنَّ بَعْضَ النَّاسِ يَكْتُبُونَ أَسْمَاءَ دَكَاكِينِهِمْ بِاللُّغَ الْإِنْجْلِيزِيَّةِ. He says, it's so strange to see that some people, they write the name of their shops in English. They found it so strange. What is happening to the Ummah? He says, وَأَقْرَبُ مِنْ هَذَا. Stranger than this, he said, وَبَلَغَنِي أَنَّ بَعْضَهُمْ. Some of them, when they want to go out of their house, they tell their kids, boy, boy, boy. He was saying, what kind of language is this? You Allah. But then now we live to see the time that you speak to an Arab man, Arabic language, they want to reply you in English. They don't want to speak their language. Wallahi, this is the peak of dana'ah. Wallah. Because no language on earth that is similar to Arabic language. It's a very rich language. You can see from the choice and the selection, also Allah SWT selected it to reveal the last and the final message in it. To address all of the humanity, everyone. So that's why the only language that you will be proud of speaking, wallah, it should be this one, Arabic language for Islam. And you want to understand Islam correctly, you must master the Arabic language. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us, ability also to maintain this
pride, you know, to be proud of having the Arabic language among us. You know, in the past, the scholar said, the student of knowledge, it is makruh. Okay? I'm sending this message also to us. It says makruh, when the student meets each other and they can speak Arabic, to speak any other language other than the Arabic language. Get it? Message already reached, right? I know you will not believe, but that's how it is. And it's also good for us, for those who are learning the Arabic language, it's good to practice all the time. It's good, good, good. May Allah grant us good and tawfiq, and let the ummah come back to their consciousness. So I was just telling you the differences between things. In Arabic language, you see a lot of these, you know. Simple difference might make a big difference. Simple difference in the meaning, in the construction of the word, might make big difference. Yeah. And they said the difference is just like the, sometimes like the heavens and the earth. You see the gap, right? Mm-hmm. And they have one word also that represent that. Al-Malak wal-Malik. What is Malak? Angel. What is Malik? King. One of them is human being on earth, and the other one is in the heaven. So this is how it is. You know. Malak, Malik. Make one mistake, you will mess up everything. Qala, لا قال تقاتلون وللبخاري لا تقوم الساعة حتى تقاتلوا قوما نعالهم الشعر وحتى تقاتلوا الترك صغار الأعين صغار الأعين حمر الوجوه ذلف الأنوف كأن وجوههم المجان المطرقة. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم gave more detail about them. He says these people, they will be صغار الأعين until the time you fight also the Turk. The Turks. He says, "Sigar al-ayun," having small eyes. "Humr al-wujuh," red faces. "Dhulf al-unuf," small nose. Some scholars said, "Okay, should we go continue with some of the?" Some of the scholars said that the two part of the nose is flattened, yeah, and this one is a bit long. Allahu alam. But here he said, صغار ذلف الأنوف قصر الأنوف. The anf is small. كأن وجوههم المجان المطرقة. Their face is just like those, what do you call, flattened shield that a person use, which are covered by the skin. وأن عمرو بن تغلب قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول من أشراط الساعة أن تقاتلوا قوما عراض الوجوه. كأن وجوههم المجان المطرقة. This is also the same thing. عراض الوجوه means wide faces. The face is big wide. وقد قاتل المسلمون الترك. And he says the Muslims, they fought Turk. من عصر الصحابة. وذلك في أول خلافة بني أمية في أهد معاوية رضي الله عنه. The battle between them and the Muslimin happens in the time of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. The beginning of the Khilafah of Banu Umayyah started with Muawiyah, right? Because the rest, although they are from that lineage, but these are the Khulafa al-Rashidin. That title is the best title given to them. So, في أول خلافة بني أمية, during the time of Muawiyah, the Muslimin fought them. Actually, the believers are trying to avoid this. Even those who fought, as you're going to see, they do not know who they are. Maybe they will not fight them. Because they don't want this sharat, min ashrat al-sa'a, to come closer. In the hadith, which some authenticated, and some don't see it that much, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Dharul habasha ma wadharukum, wa turuku turuka ma tarakukum." Saja. Stay away from fighting Habasha as long as they don't fight. They don't fight you. And stay away from, and leave the Turks. Don't fight them as long as they don't fight you. As long as they left you, we also leave them. That's why Abu Ya'la, he narrated from Muawiyah ibn Khudayj, قال كنت عند معاوية بن أبي سفيان
حِينَ جَاءَهُ كِتَابٌ كِتَابٌ مِنْ عَامِلِهِ يُخْبِرُهُ أَنَّهُ وَقَعَ بِالتُّرْكِ وَهَزَمَهُ. So this person, Muawiyah ibn Khudayj, he said, I was with Muawiyah Khalifa. You know, who was Khalifa number 5, by the way?
Hassan bin Ali.
So fast. Not Umar ibn Abdulaziz?
No.
But what can you say to refute or to answer those scholars who think Umar ibn Abdulaziz? Khilafa will last for
30 years.
Khilafa will last for? No, he never said that. When did he say Khilafa will last for? Okama. Okama qala Nabi, Okama qala Hamad. Okay, I got some answers there online. They also lost something important from the first answer. He doesn't say Khilafah will last for 20 years. So what did he say? Should I fix? Okay. He says Khilafah al-Nubuwa. Khilafah that is based on the Nubuwa is the one that, Khilafah that is based on the prophecy. This is the one that will last for 30 years. You know. Not Khilafah in general, you know. But Khilafah that is based on the Nubuwah will last for 30 years. Yeah. And Al-Hassan ibn Ali is the one that completed the last part of it, around 6 months. Because if you go to the Khulafa al-Rashidin and see how long they did, 10 years, 2 years, with some few months here and there, then you will not complete the 30 years. Al-Hassan ibn Ali completed them. So we learn from this that he is the fifth Khalifa. And then number 6 is?
Muawiyah
ibn Abi Sufyan. Yeah, and then Umar ibn Abdulaziz. Yeah. It has to be like that, because there is no actually room of comparison between Umar and Umar ibn Abdulaziz and Muawiyah. No room of comparison. Yeah, the gap between them is too big. One of them is the value of what he did, Mudd Sha'ir of Muawiyah is better than mountain of gold that was spent by Umar ibn Abdulaziz. And one of the Salaf al-Saleh said, غُبَارٌ دَخَلَ فِي أَنْفِ مُعَوِيَ مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أَفْضَلُ مِنْ عَمَلْ Umar ibn Abdulaziz. One piece of dust that went into the nose of Muawiyah together with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is far greater than all of the righteous deed of Umar ibn Abdulaziz. أولى الصحاب ليس مثلهم في البشر ليس في أمتك الصحابة في الفضل والإنصاف والإصابة. Nobody is like the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in the Ummah, and nobody will be like them in terms of virtue, knowledge, and being correct. You know, being correct. So Muawiyah was a very, very, very righteous companion of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Actually, one of the scholars said, if you are to see Muawiyah, you might start to think, is he the Mahdi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised this Ummah to send to? So all of these fake narrations about him, just keep them aside and send them to the basket of the Shia. Because they said the one that hate Muawiyah, so they have a lot of stories about him, against him actually. May Allah grant us good. So this Muawiyah ibn Khudayj, he met Khalifa Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. So he was there with him, and then Amil of Muawiyah, one of the governors of Muawiyah in one of the cities, came to him. And then he was just coming to give him the good news that they at last fought the Turks and they defeated them. And they also got a lot of ganima. وَهَزَمُهُمْ وَكَثْرَةُ مَنْ قُتِلَ فِيهِمْ وَكَثْرَةُ مَنْ غُنِمْ. So he was telling him that we killed so many and also we got so many from them. فَغَضِمَ مُعَوِيَةُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. So Muawiyah got mad. He got angry when he told him Turks. ثُمَّ أَمَرَ أَنْ يُكْتَبَ إِلَيْهِ. So immediately he asked somebody to write a letter to him. قَالَ قَدْ فَهِمْتُ مَا قُلْتَ مَا قَتَلْتَ وَمَا غَنِمْتَ فَلَا أَعْلَمَنَّ مَا عُدْتَ لِشَيْءٍ مِنْ ذَلِكَ وَلَا قَاتَلْتَهُ حَتَّى أَتِيكَ أَمْرِي. He says, he wrote a letter immediately to him. He says, I heard what you said and I understand perfectly what you're talking about. What you killed and what you got from them. He said, this will be the last time you do this. He said, after reaching my book, after receiving my book, do not do anything with those people until the time I commanded you, I myself. So, Qultu, Lima ya Amir al-Mu'minin, Mawa ibn Khudayj was there, so he was asking, he was surprised. Why? This is supposed to be a victory. Why is he sad? So, and then he asked him, he said, ya Amir al-Mu'minin, why? Why are you saying this? قَالَ سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ. He said, I heard the Prophet saying, لَتَظْهَرَنَّ الْتُرْكُ عَلَى الْعَرَبِ حَتَّى تُلْحِقَهَا بِمَنَابِتِ الشِّيْخِ وَالْقَيْسُ فَأَكْرَهُ قِتَلَهُمْ لِذَلِكَ. He says, I heard the Prophet said, the Turks are going to defeat the Arabs, and they will take them back to those areas. And الشيخ والقيسوم, these are two types of plants. Both plants. I mean, he didn't take them backwards so much. They will defeat them so much to that level. So Muawiyah said, I hate to see us fighting them. We don't want to provoke them because we don't want this time to come earlier. You get it? قَالَ وَأَنْ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بِنْ بُرَيْدَ أَنْ أَبِيهِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالَ كُنْتُ جَالِسًا عِنْدَ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم فَسَمِعْنَا النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إِنَّ أُمَّتِي يَسُوقُهَا قَوْمٌ عِرَاضُ الْأَوْجِهِ عِرَاضُ الأوجه صغار الأعين كأن وجوههم الحجف. He says, I was with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, sitting with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فسمعنا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول. So we heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saying. He says, my ummah is going to be led by a people who are having flat faces. صغار الأعين, very small eyes. Very tiny eyes. كَأَنَّ وُجُهَهُمُ الْحُجُفُ. And their faces will be like that, like the turs, the shield. That's the thing that you use to protect yourself from the enemies. حَتَّى يُلْحِقُهُمْ بِجَزِيرَةِ الْعَرْبِ. They will take them back to جَزِيرَةِ الْعَرْبِ. قَالَ أَمَّا السَّابِقَةُ الْأُولَى فَيَنْجُو مَنْ هَرَبَ مِنْهُمْ وَأَمَّا الثَّانِيَةَ فَيَهْلِكُ بَعْضٌ وَيَنْجُو بَعْضٌ وأما الثالثة فيصطلمون كلهم من بقي منهم. قالوا يا نبي الله من هم؟ قال الترك. He said the first group, he says فأنجوا من هرب منهم. Those who ran away will manage to run away in the first group or the first fight. قالوا أما الثانية, as for the second one, فيهلك بعض وينجو بعض. Some of them will pass and some of them will be killed. وَأَمَّا الثَّالِثَ, as for the third attempt, فَيَسْطَلِمُونَ, meaning يُقْطَعُونَ, you know, they will be cut off, كُلُّهُمْ, whoever was there fighting will be cut off. You know, that's how much, you know, أَشِدَّ, those Turks who are fighting are. قَالَ مَنْ بَقِي مِنْهُمْ. قَالُوا يَا نَبِيَ اللَّهِ مَنْ هُمْ. So they said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, who are these? قَالَ هُمُ الْتُرْكُ. He said, these are the Turks. قال وأما والذي نفسي بيده. قال لا يربطن خيولهم إلى سواري مساجد المسلمين. He said, والله they will reach the situation whereby they tie their horses and to the pillars of the masajid of the Muslimin. قال وكان بريدة لا يفارقه به. By Iran, you know, the Prophet ﷺ said some people managed to run away and escape, right? So he the one who heard the hadith. قَالَ وَكَانَ بُرَيْدَ لَا يُفَارِقُ بَعِيرًا أَوْ ثَلَثَ. From the time he heard that the Prophet ﷺ said, the first group will manage to run away. Second one, the second attempt, they will kill someone, some of them will run away. And the third one, they will get them all.
So Buraydah, from that time, he always have two or three camels with him. وَمَتَاعَ لِلسَّفَرِ. And also he has his food and everything ready on his camel. وَالْأَسْقِيَةِ. And the water ready on the camel. بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ لِلْهُرُوبِ. He's always ready to run. In case he hear about them, to be among the first group that will manage to escape. مِمَّا سَمِعَ مِنَ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم من البلاء في أمر الترك. For that which he heard about the fitna that will affect the believers from the side of the Turks. So that was a test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested the believers. قال وكان مشهورا في زمن الصحابة رضي الله عنهم حديث اترك الترك ما ترككم. And it's very famous also in the time of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith that says اترك الترك ما ترككم. Yeah, and the other part of the hadith says ذروا الحبشة ما وذروكم وترك الترك ما ترككم. You know, so as I said, it's a controversial matter amongst the scholars of the hadith whether the hadith is authentic or not. قال ابن حجر وكان ما بينهم وبين المسلمين مسدودا إلى أن فتح ذلك شيئا بعد شيء. So they used to have nothing between them and the Muslimin, you know, until the time it started to be opened slowly, 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 slowly. وكثر السبي منهم. So the Muslims started fighting and they enslaved also so many. وتنافس الملوك فيهم لما يتصفون به من الشدة والبأس. And you see the tenafus of the kings in them because everyone wants to get them because of what they have of shiddah. They're very strong, they're very tough and harsh. So everyone wants to get them. So, and this is also a problem because when you start bringing others who are not sharing the same aqidah with you, trust me, one day you will lose. Yeah. I know a country, you know, subhanAllah, they bring closer those who are not having the same religion as them. They took over. Up to date, the leadership in that country is by the Muslim laws. Yeah, and that was just good intention. They were good, this, this, and that, and then they gave, subhanAllah. And they are suffering up to date. You know, because Islam is the only religion of justice, which if it is taking the lead, everyone enjoys, Muslim or not Muslim. Islam is not a religion that is so harsh against the other religions. No, everyone enjoys. Go and read the history and see that in the past, the non-Muslim, they enjoy more privileges than living in the kuffar land. You know, it is only in our place where they enjoy freedom. They do business, they have nothing to pay except the jizya, which is 1 dinar in a year. Yeah, but they can buy, they can sell, they can do trade, they can become so rich, and nobody is fighting them, nobody is bothering them. You know, they enjoy life, which in their places, because of too much taxes, almost there is no incentive, everything is taken. So they don't enjoy living in their own territories. No peace, in our place there is peace, and no injustice also being committed against them. That's why Islam has to take lead in every place because we recognize rights. Yeah. Who is Islam fighting? Those who are fighting Islam don't agree to live with Islam in peace. That's what we have. Ahlul Dhimma, right? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man qatala mu'ahadan min ghayri jurmin lam yarah raihat al-jannah." If you kill a mu'ahad, who is mu'ahad? Somebody who signed an agreement to live with the believers in peace. You will not smell paradise. He's not a Muslim, but if somebody kill him without justification, this justification is leaders just. Islamic justification, and this is supposed to be done by the leaders, not us. Yeah, we don't take law on our hand. Yeah. So bringing them to our place, giving them all the privileges in the way it will tarnish the image of Islam can also jeopardize the right of the Muslimin in that place. So that's why in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, who killed Umar? Abu Lu'lat al-Majusi, kafir. Laysa faqad kafir, I think this one is beyond kufr. Very bad kafir. So he was the one who killed Umar radiallahu anhu. And you know what Umar said? He said to Abbas, qatalaka. Abbas said, we're going to take them out of Medina. He said, qatalaka Allah. So he told him this, and he says, since when I have been telling you, do not let them come into our place. Umar used to oppose this. They used to get them as slaves. You know, so many slaves come into Medina, you know, Allah. They used to have them. So Umar used to oppose this. He doesn't want to have them in Medina. But then he says, تَكَلَّمُوا بِلُغَتِكُمْ مَنْ They now merge with the believers inside. So now they became a very strong community in Medina. And we can see the consequences. We lost the great Khalifa, you know, in our community, Umar radiallahu anhu, at their hands. So the same, you know, is applicable until the day of judgment, even in our time. Islam should take the lead, because Islam is a religion of justice. Nobody should be oppressed under the leadership of Islam. But usually in other places, when others are taking place, then we don't enjoy these type of privileges. You know? May Allah grant us good. So he says, وَكَثُرَ السَّبِيُّ مِنْهُمْ وَتَنَافَسَ الْمُلُوكُ فِيهِمْ لِمَا يَتَّصِفُونَ بِهِ مِنَ الشِّدَّةِ وَالْبَأْسِ حَتَّى كَانَ أَكْثَرُ عَسْكَرِ الْمُعْتَصِمِ مِنْهُمْ Until the time, the vast majority of the soldiers of Al-Mu'tasim, the Khalifa Al-Mu'tasim, most of the soldiers, they are from Turks. And that's really big problem. ثُمَّ غَلَبَ الْأَتْرَكَ عَلَى الْمُلُوكِ So then they have the power in their hands. So what do you think, you know? You are just a Malik on the chair, you know? The protectors, the defenders, they share different values, you know, different manhaj as you. What do you think will happen? So they took over the government. فَقَتَلُوا إِبْنَهُ الْمُتَوَكِّلِ They killed his son, Al-Mutawakkil. ثُمَّ أَوْلَادَهُ وَاحِدًا بَعْدَ وَاحِدٍ They kept on killing his children, one after the other. You know that Dawla al-Abbasiyya, some part of it is a mess. Alhamdulillah, at the time of Harun al-Rashid and some others, you know, things started to get better, but it was a mess. You know, somebody was leading behind. That's why stability is more during the time of the Umayyah. Yeah, they have corruption, they have, but they both also have corruption. But that one is more stable than the second one. قال إلى أن خالت المملكة الديلم ثم كان الملوك السامانية من الترك أيضا. You know, until the time at Daylam also, they came and they also mixed with the king, they become part of the kingdom. And then السامانية came from the Turk. فَمَلَكُوا بِلَادِ الْعَجَمِ So they took over the countries of the Ajam. Ajam, other than that, the Arabs. ثُمَّ غَلَبَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ الْمَمَالِكِ آلَ السَّبْكَتَيْنِ ثُمَّ آلَ السَّلْجُوبِ وَامْتَدَّتْ مَمْلَكَتُهُمْ إِلَى الْإِرَاقِ وَالشَّامِ وَالرُّومِ So all of these, آلَ السَّلْجُوبِ and the rest that I have just mentioned, they kept on taking over until the time their mamlaka reached Iraq and Sham and Rum. ثم كان بقايا أتباعهم بالشام وهم آل جنكيز خان. And the balance of their followers were in Sham, and they are the followers of Jenkins Khan. وهم وأتباع هؤلاء and their followers. وهم بنو أيوب واستكثر هؤلاء أيضا من الترك فغلبوهم. You know Jenkins Khan, right? There. فغلبوهم على المملكة بي الديار المصرية والشام والحجازية وخرج آل سلجوق في المئة الخامسة وخرج على آل سلجوق في المئة الخامسة الغز فخربوا البلاد وفتكوا في العباد So this also قوم الغز they also rebelled against آل سلجوق You remember we said آل سلجوق from the Turk themselves سلجوقيين they took over some part of our own territories and these ones comes also and fought them فخربوا البلاد they destroyed the cities وفتكوا بالعباد ثم جاءت الطامة الكبرى until the time the biggest musiba arrived بالطرطر and this are the Tatar yeah, the Mongols فكان خروج جنكيز خان بعد الستمائة yeah, after 600 years after the migration of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم جنكيز خان came فأسعرت بهم الدنيا نارا سبحان الله dunya was inflamed because of those ones those ones they are like wuhush even some of our scholars used to think that these are the ya'juj ma'juj you know فتن المسلمون بهم so they came and they destroyed almost every part of the Muslim territories except a few
that time even Baghdad was gone, was taken down. You know, that was the capital city of the Muslimin. They took it to the ground. If I'm not mistaken, they are talking about not less than 2 million people were gone by them. That's why some think that these guys are Ya'juj and Ma'juj, the one that will come in before the Day of Judgment. Get it? And they burn our books.
Yeah.
They said Nahr Dijla, the Euphrates, and the rivers in Iraq, either the blood of the Muslimin they kill, or the ink of the books. They burned so many books and they took so many and they put them inside the river. That's why we lost a lot of books. A lot of books. So this event that took place is a good, a part of the history for us to read, you know, so that we can keep the hope. Because trust me, you know, the Ummah is going through so many, right? In Yemen, Syria, Iraq, and many places, you know, almost, you know, no place that is stable. The most sensitive places of ours are in chaos. But subhanAllah, if you go back to the history also and read about these guys, you will say that most likely until now, we did not see the reputation of that one. You know? So that's the benefit of reading the history, so that the hope could be kept. Yeah. Otherwise, people will lose hope. You will be demotivated thinking that you're too close to the Day of Judgment, then nobody will be productive anymore. Yeah, but when you remember that in the past, actually the Ummah, you know, witness moments which are worse than these ones, then be in light of Allah, you will keep your hope. Yeah. You understand that inshallah this is going to be gone in the way the previous one also were gone. Yeah. So I'm just saying this so that we will not lose hope. One of our mashaykh, rahimahullah, he always tell the students, Ummah ma'zal fiha khair. The Ummah, we still have good in the Ummah. Iwallah. I really love this word from him. Still good in the Ummah. Still good in the Ummah. Sheikh Nasir rahimahullah, he always call upon this to give people motivation and also to let them understand that we still have space to be productive. You know? And to have excuse to our own Muslim brothers and sisters. You know? Yeah, he always opposed these demon protests, which, you know, caused us to lose so many places of ours. Although it's a very sensitive matter that people are very emotional, they don't want to discuss the fact about them, but these are realities. You know? You tell them that, yeah, Muslim leaders, you know, they are not infallible. They're wrong, they're right, they're like anybody else. Support them. Be with them, make dua for them. Yeah. Make dua for them. For them to be good. Rather than doing whatever you're doing which might cause the Muslim to lose their own territories. Which not following his advice, you can see what this is the kind of condition we are in nowadays. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take it off and bring the Ummah back to their consciousness. So inshallah this mention of the Genghis Khan and his people on the Tatar, we read it in the next class, be Allah ta'ala. May Allah grant us good and tawfiq. Let's keep more time for questions, if any. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mazin, remind me, if we start from the statement of Ibn Hajar next class. Page
124. Yeah. You want to ask first?
Who? Ask me. Yes.
Okay.
Should I
have
the mic?
All three. All three. Sheikh, Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Assalam.
Hopefully you're well,
Sheikh. Let me fix you in something which you already know. Do you accept it? But it's Lutfi. Even your name I forgot. And this is not only for you, it's for all of us. There was a video that I watched by what do you call them? Those people who are making fun of things to make people laugh. Comedian. You enjoy. You will laugh. Whether you like it or you don't like it, you will laugh. But subhanAllah, when I came across a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from that time, I never watch it anymore. Never let also my kids to watch it anymore. Talks about different way of saying salam, how people are saying salam. He was right, copying others when the way they say salam. You get it? Yeah, the way they shorten. You know, even some people when they go to the other people's house, they say kum and assalamu alaikum, all the other things, just kum. Everyone could possible. Yeah, it's possible to be everyone. Leave the one who is saying just kum. We have heard this one. This one is not even narration. It's just eyewitness. Yeah. So different version of saying salam, right? You have also sometimes when you pronounce it, I know it's with good intention. It's also a culture and a custom, right? But I think we should familiar ourselves with saying the salam really correctly. Assalamu alaikum. You know why? Because assalam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna assalama ismu min asma'illah. Wada'ahu fil ard." He said, "Assalam is one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He put on earth because He wants you to spread it, to say it. So if I mess it up," I'm not talking about Lutfi or somebody, or, all of us are doing this mistake or so from time to time. Yeah. So if I mess it up, then that objective and the purpose of bringing the word to us is gone. Right? So when you say assalamu alaikum, no saykum anymore. Saykum is not salam. Sakum, not salam. This is not salam. Although we understand that the man is saying salam, the sister is saying salam, but the real way to say it is assalamu alaikum or salamun alaikum. Both are okay, inshallah. So please, let's, as a student of knowledge, try to train ourselves. Always when we pronounce these things, Islamic things, we pronounce them in the correct way. Yeah. Sorry everyone, inshallah, I will be knocking on our heads from time to time. This is what I was taught also by our scholars, that you have to teach two things, tarbiyah and knowledge, inshallah. So, assalamu alaikum, Lutfi.
Wa alaikum assalam, wa barakatuh, Shaykh. Jazakallah khair.
Allahumma ameen.
Sheikh, just one question. Actually, two questions. First one, you said that...
Okay, this one, I'm not the one who is correcting. Ahmad is correcting. Yeah. He said, we said, right?
We said, Sheikh. Okay.
So many mistakes in this class.
The Qiyamah will come when the leader will be... led by a person with small eyes and his face is like what do you call it? Sheath?
A hammer shield.
So actually I don't really understand, like, how do you know if this person is like that kind of face? And the second question is the Turks, that the people will fight with the Turks, right? Are these people from Turkey?
I give you the mic.
forgive me for my mic question.
Was with him, but he put it like this.
forgive me, Sheikh, for my question. Yes.
Yeah, first of all, please try come to the class next class. Okay, inshallah, the detail about this, what really happens, is going to be mentioned in the next class. We hope this event already took place, finished. Happy?
Yes.
I know. And those people who fought us, so much, you're going to hear, inshallah, in the future, or you read by yourself if the book doesn't mention it. Subhanallah, they fought, they killed, they do everything, but later on they converted to Islam. They're the one who formed Dawla al-Uthmaniyya, the Ottoman Empire. They were the last khilafah that the Muslimin have, which is collective khilafah that led the Muslimin. You get it, which up to date the Western, they don't want something like this to happen, because in those days nobody can fight Muslimin. Where Izzah, wherever you go, you are Aziz. The greatest nation there are the Muslim nations. Forget about inside their beliefs and things and that, but as Muslim, they managed to reach this strength and power. You get it? Yeah. So
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his own way of doing things. A person might be evil at the first time and then come and help Islam also later on. You get it? So that fitna of those people, technically, I mean, most likely already gone. Yeah. You get it? So you don't need to make connection with these ones or that one. Otherwise, when we widen the thing, also some other people also might be included. Yeah. So that's why these type of things, you don't make application unless if you see it clearly taking place in a people. Even Yajuj or Majuj, some people, they already identify who they are. I will not mention, I mean, I'm saying some people. They say Yajuj or Majuj, they are these guys. I don't mention them. Yeah, get it? Because I don't want them to say that Ibrahim called us Yajuj or Majuj. You get it? So we don't go for this, yeah? Inshallah. So come to the class, next class, to see the conclusion made by the Sheikh. Then inshallah you know how to deal with the matter. Actually, you don't need to do anything because inshallah it already happened. What you need to do is just to make dua for your own leaders. Seriously, for them to succeed in their leadership. Yeah, we need that dua from all of us. You know. Imam Ahmad said if he has one chance to make dua for himself, which he knows it will be accepted, he said he would do it for the leader, not for himself. Yeah, because wallahi, if a leader is a righteous leader, only Allah knows how much khayr will exist in the community. And they have a lot of ways to bring it, which we don't. As an individual, I cannot do. What he can do, I can't. What I spend 20, 50, 60, 100 years doing, they can do it in less than a year. And perfectly, more effective way than what I will do. Yeah. So we need to make dua. Don't look at what they are doing if you think they're not doing the correct thing, but just look at the importance of being righteous. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put barakah in their leadership and guide them to do the right thing. Yeah, inshallah. Next question.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Assalamu
alaikum. Shafa asks, what do we mean by Baghdad as the capital city and not Makkah? What was the significance?
No, it's since Makkah never be actually, to my knowledge, a capital city of the Muslimin. You know, but if you're talking about Ummul Qura, the nature of the place, this one is something else. But a place where the Khalifa is there. This is what we meant by a capital city. It used to be Medina all the time. And Ali bin Abi Talib took over, he moved it to Kufa. That was a place where he has his own supporters and the armies are there. So he moved it from that to that place. You know. You get it? And then it moved to Sham, come back to Baghdad again. Like that. You know. So this is what we meant by the capital city of the Muslim territories. In the past, we have the Nizam of the Khilafah. Mm. And this is also good to be mentioned. We have the Nizam of the Khilafah, whereby in the past, we have one city. Let's say the time of Baghdad. Yeah, Baghdad is the capital city of the Muslimin. So no Khalifa. We have governors. We have in Mecca, Medina, Malaysia, Indonesia, Pakistan, India, wherever you have on earth, you know. In every city, we have a governor, somebody who is leading that community, reporting to the Khalifa there. We're one body. So at that time, this is when the Muslim, you know, Ummah was very strong. But now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not let this system to continue. We have dual. Every country have their own leader. Leader, not a governor reporting to somebody. Yeah, so the system has changed in the way every Muslim should understand that the system has changed. I'm saying this because we have some young people with their mentalities who think that no, there has to be the Khilafah has to come back. They don't want to obey their leaders. This is very dangerous, actually. To my knowledge, I can't remember anyone from the previous scholars who is having this thinking. Your leader is the person that is leading you immediately. Yeah, if that Khilafah comes in the future, then we go with that. But now we deal with what we are having. Yeah, you are in a country, the leader of that country is your leader. Yeah, and this is also good for us to know because he comes from Mars. So he thinks that his leader is still the leader in the Mars. So he doesn't obey, he breaks the rules in the place where he is. That's haram, that's wrong. When you leave your territory, you come to another Muslim city, your leader is that Muslim leader in that city. You follow his instruction. You've already left your own territory. You have to abide by the law of that that place. You know, that's how it is in Islam. So you're living in time of the Khilafah, then that's another time. We don't have it now, we use the available. So we cooperate with the people who are leading us to support them to make a success in their leadership. That's it, you know. So I'm saying this because you hear from there, here and there, those people who are calling upon the Khilafah, and they are talking in this way, but that's very dangerous and very wrong also. May Allah grant us good. Yes, Khilafah has to be established, but how? Everyone has to work for this. How to work for the Khilafah? I don't need to go to a place trying to do Khilafah. Rasulullah did not do that. He follows the process, migrate from Makkah because he cannot stay from in that land of Kufr, to Medina, where Medina accepted him because that was a place where the Muslims are there. Almost half of the community was Muslim when the Prophet ﷺ went. That's why Muslim took over right after he went, because almost every house there is a Muslim in that house. Yeah, that's how they make it. They do not live in the Muslim country and then now they isolate themselves to another place to establish Khilafah, but they don't. Yeah, how do you do it? Just fix yourself. Your friend should fix himself. Everyone should fix himself. Then Rabbul Alameen will bring our leaders according to our nature. That's how it is. Kama takunu yuwalla alaykum. Your leaders are none other than the reflection of your nature. That's it. And we always point at our leader. Oh, this leader is this and that. But unfortunately, look at me who is pointing. Look at him who is pointing. Look at his life and see what is he doing. Cheating, deceiving, oppressing, and everything. And then now he is telling us that the leader is this and that. How is it possible for the leader to be perfect and fixed, and if we are also sometimes acting worse than the shayateen? Wallah, you go to our community and see the way people are behaving. The amount of the injustices by us, you know, against us. And then we want the leader to be like this. I heard one of the leaders of Bani Umayyah, he gathered the community and then he told them, do you want us to be like Abu Bakr and Umar to you? They said, yes, yes, yes. He said, you also should be like those with Abu Bakr and Umar with us. Somebody told Abu Talib, and not Abu Talib, the son of Abu Talib, Ali bin Abi Talib. He told him, how come the time of Abu Bakr, everything is fine. The time of Umar also, everything is fine. The time of Uthman also, things are fine. But when your time comes, it's always chaos. He said, what happened? Why? He said, because Ali bin Abi Talib is replying. He said, because in the time of Abu Bakr was surrounded by people like me. And in my time, I'm surrounded by people like you. That's why things are not willing to go in the right way. May Allah grant us good. Next question.
I heard there's both. Please don't get angry at me. Sheikh, I heard that there will be rihun tayyiba taqbid arwah as-salihin aw al-mu'minin. Is this a sign of
It's a sign of the day of judgment. Inshallah,
it's one of the signs.
It will come.
Yes.
One of the things that we're going to be discussing is this one, inshallah.
Sheikh, I have a question. Let's say I follow the opinion that the caliph does not have to be from the Quraysh. So could the president of a certain nation, just a random nation, and he and the government declares, we're not doing democracy anymore, this is now Sharia, we're ruling by the Sharia, and I am the caliph. Is this claim legitimate?
No, it's not. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when the Muslimin are united under one Khalifa, leader, whoever comes to claim a leadership, we should fight that second person, whoever he is.
I'm talking about now.
Even tomorrow, actually, not only now. Yeah, it's like that. We just, whoever happens to be our leader, we just have to go with. Whoever happens to be with our leader, we just have to follow and obey, and that's it. And nobody should claim any leadership. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he knew that in the future, there's going to be people who are corrupt leaders, not good ones. Companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they could have just announced themselves to be the Khulafa. They did not. It was only Abdullah ibn Zubayr who did. And in Makkah, to my knowledge, the companions who were with him, they warned him so much, do not go against your Khalifa, do not. Al-Husayn, the grandson of the Prophet ﷺ, when he goes against the Khalifa, they also warn him so much, do not. Abdullah ibn Khabbab ibn Abdullah ibn Hanzala al-Ghassib, you know, he also, when he went against the leader, you know, Yazid, the companions in Medina, they warned him. They told him, do not. Abdullah ibn Umar told his children, whoever listened to him, this is the disconnection and separation between me and him. It's like I disown him. He's not a family member of mine. They don't understand who was Yazid and how corrupt is this, but they never agree with somebody to go against him. Do you get the idea? So that's why patience is wajib upon us, to be patient and cooperate with our leaders, make dua for them, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring peace, to hold upon their hands to that which is good for us and the ummah. My experience in the history led me to believe that it has never bring good to our communities. It ends by bloodshed and corruption, and sometimes we submit our nation to other than the Muslimin. So sabr is wajib.
Sheikh,
you get it, Adam?
Sheikh, I'm asking about the leader himself, because the leader himself, he doesn't give bayah, because he's the leader, he's the guy. So he says, now I am the caliph, and he rules his country by sharia.
No need to mention, why does he need to mention this? And I mean, if somebody seek for my advice as a leader, that doesn't need to go for this. You are the leader, you are on top. Lead people with that which you think is correct, according to your faith. You don't need to say this is Sharia, this is this and that, and then provoke others to come and fight and talk and all of these things from the inside, from outside. I see lack of wisdom what we are doing sometimes. Why do we need to say what you're doing is Sharia or this and that? Just apply what you believe is correct. In the non-Muslim countries, do we have capital punishment in some of them? Yes, they do. They do, but they don't call it Christianity. Just do, you are a Muslim, you know, just do what you believe to be, you know, deterring people from committing crime. These are the laws that you impose. Don't say Sharia, don't say this and that. Why do I need to mention, oh, I am this and that? You get it. I'm not going to follow this and that. No, just follow the correct one. Everyone is following. Even the people who claim they're following certain type of system, they're just lying. If you go back to the definition of the system itself and you compare what they're doing and the meaning of the system, they are not following. Yeah. Why do I need to explain to everyone what I'm going to do? Why? Seriously, Adam, I believe some of us are not doing the correct thing. You don't need to tell everyone what you're doing. Just do. Everyone is doing what they believe to be right. Why do I need to explain to you what I'm doing? Do you get it? You dress in the way you dress, but you feel shy of dressing in that way. Somebody comes out naked and everyone accepts him. Why do I need to explain to people the reason why I'm behaving in the way I behave? Why that one can't he? Why can't he come and, explain to us why is he doing what he was doing? Yeah, Muslims, they have to be very smart. We claim we are following the dunya of freedom, but the freedom is only restricted. They enjoy freedom, but we shouldn't enjoy freedom. And the problem is us, actually, not them. Because we think we need to go and tell them what we are doing and ask for verification and approval. They don't ask us for verification and approval of what they're doing. And everyone has to accept them in the way they are. And when we do what we believe to be correct, we have to go and explain to the people because we want to go and explain to them. So I don't think it's a wise decision for anyone to come and announce. No. And we see also in the history, the moment he start, then the plot from inside and outside, and at the end of the day, he will never succeed. Being removed, and then the country go back to the worst. Yeah. Why do we need to go for this? Just lead people according to what you believe to be correct, and then that's it. No.
But I want to know if there are any conditions that prevent it. Let's say he controls every city between Maghrib and Iran. And he has three masjid. He's the Fatih al-Israel. He is the guy. He's Rakam Awal. Why can't he say, I am the caliph?
To say what? He's a khalifa?
Yeah.
Caliph of what?
He says, I am the mujaddid. I brought the caliph back.
Why does he need to say which mujaddid? Wait, Adam. Tell me, which mujaddid in the past that come and tell people I'm the mujaddid?
Nobody.
Nobody.
None of them.
Why is he going to start this one? Why do you think he should
because
be the first person to start?
I just want to know whether it's halal or not.
No, why? Why is he going to start? Actually, strategically, it's not good for him. It's not good for him. Adam, you have to wake up. You know, all of those people who stand up and say, just give them a few days. Gone. Days. They're gone. Because you are surrounded by enemies in all of their kinds. And then you come and they're just waiting for you to expose your identity. get it. Why does he need to come and say, I'm the Mujaddid of the Asr and all of these things? You know? What is the difference between him and those people also who claim to be Isa ibn Maryam, Mahdi al-Muntaba?
Because he is. Yeah.
No, he is Isa ibn Maryam.
No, I'm saying he, if a Muslim
how
were to conquer every
city. How does he know?
Just like generally speaking.
No,
if
how does he know? Because he might, let's say if I see his activities and I ask Adam, what do you think about what he does? Wallahi, trust me, you might tell me, no, this is not part of the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he says he's the Mujaddid. And his people agree that he's the Mujaddid. Which Tajidi he's talking about? Yeah, we have people who claim they are the Mujaddidin. But the real Mujaddid doesn't talk. They do the Tajdeed in the correct way of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A leader should be smart, you know. Then we shouldn't come and just say that this is who am I. You know, when you have some blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you announce that you got it, how many people will come and fight you for it?
Everyone.
See, keep it first. Preserve it first and then see how to share with others. Slowly. A leader should be very smart. I don't think by doing what you are proposing, Adam, we would be able to make a move, a single step actually.
So can we say with reasonable certainty that the caliph will remain, the position will remain empty and unestablished until the Mahdi?
We don't need to do that. Actually, all that which we need now is to get busy with fixing ourselves. Wallahi, I see these things, although I know Adam might not agree, but I see these things sometimes as waste of time. Wallahi, I see these talks as waste of time. Trust me, waste of time. I'm pretty sure Adam, if he goes out, before he gets out of UIA, you know, and go out, he sees how many things which are not good and not correct. A lot. Which khilafah on this? In Rabb al-Alameen was very, always serious actually. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, khilafah cannot come back unless if we fulfill these two conditions. Iman and Amal Saleh, righteous, dedicated people to Islam, then he bring back the khilafah to us. Are we like this?
No.
And then we claim to have the khilafah. It will be based on something that is hush. I believe what a Muslim is supposed to be busy with nowadays is fixing ourselves. Give da'wah to people, educate people, let people come back to their religion. Are there many, 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 many people in our communities, they are not aware of simple things in Iman, yet they don't know. Which khilafah are we talking about? You know? Yeah, so we have to fix, you know. That's why Sheikh Nasir always said, tasfiyah and tarbiyah. You know, you Allah, the Ummah is in need of tarbiyah. We need to understand our deen correctly. Yeah, it has been taken by the thieves. We need to come back to the deen, understand it correctly, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correctly. Trust me, Adam, the khilafah will come back by itself. كَمَا تَكُونُ يُوَلَّى عَلَيْكُمْ Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ Allah says He will not change until we change. We are not willing to change and we want Him to change. And it doesn't go like that. Yeah. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَحْتَجُ إِلَيْنَا Allah doesn't need us. So no muhaba, either we change or He let us go with the situation and the way it is. And this is exactly how it is. And that's why they love this kind of talk, Khalifa. And then so you'll find some people will come with their enthusiasm, come and do things in the wrong way. You have some people who kill us, and they think they're bringing Khilafa, you know? Yeah, we have heard in some part of the earth, some people, they burn people in the masajid. And they go to the village, those masakeen who are not involved in the government in any way. And they burn the people there. They burn their farms, they burn their mazare, and they claim that they are doing the khilafah things. No, we have to wake up, Allah. We have to wake up and understand, you know, that the enemy, you know, that is, the plot of the enemy against us. Method of getting the khilafah is very clear, which is everyone to do that which the companions of the Prophet ﷺ did. They are very dedicated in their religion, very straightforward, standing upright. Allah SWT gave them the khilafah, the way He promised. We don't want to do what they did and we want the khilafah to come. Which khilafah? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah fix us, Adam, and also guide all of us and grant our leaders ability to lead the ummah to success in the way Allah SWT wants. This is my dua. And this is my invitation to everyone. Make dua to your leaders, wherever they are. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fix them and guide them and let them do the right thing. You know, you will lie. Because if they do the right thing, we will enjoy. Everyone will enjoy. You know, barakallahu fik.
One more.
Very hot question.
Oh man.
Next. I thought I'm done.
It's just one more, Sheikh.
Okay.
From Shafa, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, last one, yes, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, "There will surely be groups of my nation who will come on the day of rising with good deeds like white mountains of Tihama, but Allah, mighty and majestic, will make it all come to dust." Thawban, radiallahu anhu, asked, "O Messenger of Allah, describe to us and make them obvious, lest we be unwitting of them. Lest we unwittingly be of them. They will be your brothers, and they will be just like you. They will pray at night just like you do. However, they are people who, while you are in private, do all sorts of haram things that Allah has forbade." Ibn Majah.
The question?
Explanation. The sharh.
Explanation.
Yeah.
Okay, it's better, because this is a very important hadith. It's better actually not to rush to keep it for the next class, inshallah. If you can just make it the first question next class, then
okay.
I will explain it more.
Riyadh al-Salihin or?
I don't know. This
tafsir.
Class. Riyadh al-Salihin has a very short life
tafsir
span.
Tafsir ibn Kathir then?
Tafsir ibn Kathir can, inshallah, possible. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum.